welcome to our fifth EAS Professional Learning Podcast with me, Daniel Davis. This week's podcast, we're discussing everything digital, and I'm with Luke Mansfield, Deputy Head of St Julian's Primary. Enjoy. So with me this afternoon, I've got Luke Mansfield, who's Deputy Head at St Julian's Primary. Afternoon, Luke.
Afternoon.
Do you want to just say a little bit about yourself? What's your role in the school and what do you do?
My name's Luke Mansfield. I'm Deputy Head Teacher at St Julian's Primary School in Newport, and I've been there for 11 years now.
Right then, so this podcast really is going to focus on digital competence, and you've recently come out of inspection, and you still look alive.
Still alive, just about.
So obviously digital competence came out quite well in the inspection, so just want to discuss how you got to that place and how you get all staff on board with digital competence.
Sure. As you just said, I mean, the first step to developing technology in school is getting staff to realise the value of technology, and I think that was crucial. I remember when I first started, kind of the first mission really was to make sure everybody knew what technology could do for them. And often as teachers, we're so busy and overloaded with everything, using technology really well can help with that workload. And so trying to show teachers different tips and tricks to show them how technology could really work for them and support them in their role was crucial. Again, showing them different apps and tools to be able to use for that was an important thing.
When I was in school, we always had some staff that were at different levels of competence, and probably in digital, that's probably the gap is wider. So how do you ensure that you are actually developing all staff, not just you know?
So yeah, I mean, as with every school, we had staff of very different competence levels. There were some teachers who would say that they weren't very digitally competent, and then there were other staff who perhaps were a bit further along that road. And I think one of the key things was to make sure everybody felt confident to use technology, and encouraging teachers just have a go, whatever. And it didn't matter if it didn't work in this one lesson or that lesson, or the internet failed or whatever it was. It was making sure everyone was just confident to have a go. Then we went from the stage of, we thought, right, you know, there's different levels of competence here. We can see this member of staff knows what they're doing with that. This member of staff can pick things up very quickly. And so we thought very carefully about how we distribute those staff amongst the school. So the school is split into different phases. We've got our upper key stage two, our lower key stage two, and a foundation phase in early years as well. And so we try to position those keen members of staff, or those staff with the skills, particularly digital skills, position them around the school to make sure that they were driving technology forward in their particular areas. Of course, the children are often five steps ahead of us as teachers anyway with technology, and so we got together our group of digital leaders, and regularly I would meet with them once a week and show them different tips and tricks. They would then practice those, and we did something called buddy training, where the digital leaders could bring other children in off the playground, bring them into the IT suite perhaps, or into a classroom with some Chromebooks, and show those skills. And the advantage of that was, by the time a teacher came to use a particular piece of software or an app in a lesson, very many of the class may have already been involved in this kind of buddy training system that we had set up, and the children would feel fairly confident to support the other children in the class and the teacher. That was kind of important. The other thing we did as well is in every staff meeting, not every staff meeting, we used to do it a few times a term, we'd have a kind of teach meet opportunity at the beginning of each staff meeting, where perhaps each member of staff or one member of staff from each phase also could maybe just demonstrate an app that they've used or a website that they found that was particularly good. And that was great, because it meant that it wasn't just me pushing the technology forward, but teachers were actually thinking, you know, I've searched the App Store, I've found that this app can do this, and look at how I've used it in my class. Yeah. And then straight away, you know, the other teacher would think, oh, wait, I could do that. I saw how easy that was when you just demonstrated that, and that was really helpful.
Yeah, so that was a really important point there, that leadership doesn't always have to come from the actual IT coordinator that is distributed across all staff, because... And then that takes ownership for all staff in the school. What about equipment then? You know, some schools will say, well, that's fine, you can do that because you've got all this money, or you've got all these equipment, I haven't got that. How did you go about deciding which equipment to purchase, and What was your thinking?
Well, when I first started, I mean, we had a class PC in every classroom, and that was really about it. Then I remember we had our IT suite with about 16 computers in, so it was always one between two. Then we bought two, three or four iPads and just shared them. And I mean, we're a fairly large school. We've got just under 700 pupils on roll, and sharing five iPads between that many children is not easy. Thankfully, we're a bit further along than that now. But I think it's really important when considering any equipment to decide, really have a clear vision what you want to do, and then buy the equipment that works for your vision, not the other way around. Don't decide your vision based on the equipment that you want to buy, but buy the equipment based on what you want to achieve. And I know, you know, Chromebooks are fantastic because, you know, most things now are on the web or cloud-based, and they're really cheap for schools to be able to buy compared to buying a big laptop or MacBooks or anything. But it just depends. I mean, we don't want children in our school to be experts at just using iPads or experts at just using Apple Macs or experts at just using PCs, but we want them to be able to adapt. Because when they leave our school, going to the workplace, they're going to encounter all kinds of different technology. And we want them to have the skills to be able to transfer those skills between whatever device they end up working on or software.
Yeah, I think that's quite an important point where you think of what you want the device to do. I remember when we started having iPads, we just had all these pictures on iPads. We couldn't get the work off. And the joy of having a cloud base is that you can pick up any device and you access your work then.
And there's a danger that some schools feel like they should be buying this particular software. You know, oh, the school down the road from us has just bought this software, and we feel like we need to keep up with them, so we're going to buy this software. But actually, you know, it really is what you want to do with your vision in your school.
So that's the hardware. So what about the software? What sort of things do you use in your school and have found to be effective?
Well, I mean, at the moment, we're in the same boat as lots of schools, I think, where we go for anything that's free or cheap at the moment to use. And thankfully, in Wales, we've got some great tools available, obviously Hub and Google Apps. Now, we adopted Google Apps a few years ago as a school and had it set up, and it was great because straight away teachers could see the real value of being able to work real-time collaboratively on a document or a presentation, whatever it might be, both in their job as a teacher and also when they're getting children to perhaps carry out research or a project together. And what we found is that it was brilliant that collaboration went from it would have been a big sheet of sugar paper in the middle of the table at one point, but collaboration has come on so much that now through Google and Microsoft Office 365 that you can actually set up a project where children are collaborating in real time, even just around the classroom or with the school down the road or even with the school on the other side of the world or the country. Collaboration is just absolutely brilliant in that children can be writing on the same document and sharing learning together and developing each other's learning as they work. Likewise for staff, I mean, planning became easier because staff were all able to just contribute to the different planning documents that we've got running and self-evaluation document in school. I mean, we've gone are the days where somebody, you know, sat there for ages just typing it in, listening to staff contribute to it. It's now an online document that anybody could add comments or things to. So Google was a great start for us in developing the way we use technology and particularly collaboration through technology. Hub now obviously has Google in it as well, as well as all the other great tools, Just Too Easy involved in Hub, and that's wonderful to be able to get the teachers and the students to be able to use these tools that are provided free to us. The other thing that we did was to try to encourage teachers to make use of Skype and video calling. It took a while, a few years ago, to get everything unblocked that we needed to make it run seamlessly. But nevertheless, it's great to be able to, you know, link your class up with a real life professional, perhaps in a certain field. I remember with my class once we were able to speak to somebody from NASA to tell us about Earth and space, which was far more exciting than the class just listening to me talk about my understanding of Earth and space. And similarly, we've been able to get other professionals. We've had the RNLI doing a video course with us. We do a project on national parks in Wales, and we've managed to get park wardens to Skype with us. And it just adds a real dimension, another real dimension to that learning and to that lesson.
Makes that learning really authentic, really, you know, to that child, and brings that sort of, what Mick Waters say, the artificial world of the classroom, bring the real world into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So lots of ideas there that teachers can use within their class. What about, and then the DCF was released a few years ago now. Now, how did you build that into what we were doing? What was your sort of thought process there with the DCF?
So one of the things we started by doing when the DCF was released, obviously as a digital pioneer school, we worked on the DCF.
And we had to kind of work out what we were doing well and what we were currently doing that fitted with the DCF well, and the areas of weakness. And we used the DCF mapping tool that we made available to all schools to kind of evaluate the strengths and weaknesses of where we were using technology and how we were using it as well. The other great thing is it provided that opportunity for staff to really consider whether they were using technology effectively or maybe in some cases just using it for the sake of using technology. For example, if you're just going to type a Word document, well, that has its value, but actually it's not much different from just writing the same piece of work with a pen and paper. So it provided us with opportunities to really look at the use of digital technology throughout our learning. And the other thing it did was give us a chance to really think about how we're using digital technology for learning. And what I mean by that is how are we helping the children to become independent learners using technology. And Google Apps was great for that, and some of the tools on Hub as well, Hub Playlists, but also Google Classroom, because we were able to set different tasks or projects on Google Classroom. Children would then be able to go home, perhaps, or go to the library and produce a bit of work, send it back into Google. We use the commenting feature and the marking feature on Google Classroom, and there's another great little tool called Kazina, where you can actually record voice snippets onto children's work, so it adds that other dimension to feedback then, when the children could click play on their document and hear you talking about their piece of work. But those kind of things really help with children becoming independent learners, and almost like we said, flipping the learning from just something that is teacher-led to being more child-led.
Yeah. Well, you said earlier on that you sort of given a task over half term. What was that sort of, what did you do for?
Yeah, so when we introduced Google Apps, one of the ways we got it up and running, really, we'd given little bits of training to the teachers to get them up and running and using it, but we set a half-term homework task for children, and basically it was six tasks that we posted on Google Classroom. We put all the children from year two to year six in a virtual Google Classroom, and one of the challenges that they had to complete in half-term was to demonstrate a talent. So we had them recording videos of themselves perhaps playing the violin or the piano. One child submitted a video of him doing keep-ups with a football. Another child showed him dog training. So it was like Britain's Got Talent through Google. But that was a great way, really, to get children into the habit of understanding they can do things at home and submit it to school using Google Classroom. Yeah. And almost, Google became that bridge between learning at home and school, which is important. And the other great thing that did was children came back into school having done that, being fairly expert at using Google because they'd been playing with it in half term.
Okay, so what about some examples of how we can use tech across the curriculum then? How can it to support learning?
So quickly, so we try to plan our themes to be really technology rich and to use technology well. For example, we do an entrepreneurial type theme, as lots of schools do, where the children set up their own businesses. One of the things they do as part of that is perhaps design their logo, design their flyers and their publications, write up their business plan, type that up. They build a website to advertise their product. They keep a spreadsheet, learn how to use spreadsheets by keeping track. And so we really try to get into the mindset of planning themes which were technology rich, using technology and different software and apps for a real purpose and to make learning as real and as authentic as possible. Another thing we did, for example, was we've got a link school in Uganda, so the children were able to learn about Uganda online. There's a great thing called My Maps, which is part of Google, where children were able to plot different points on the maps and see the differences, record the differences between the Uganda and where we are in Newport and what children do and have what their school is like in Uganda and ours. And we actually did a virtual walk to Uganda. We used BBC Microbits to program step counters. We worked out it was 12 million footsteps from Newport to Uganda if you were to walk it. And we used these step counters and also used some Fitbits to be able to do a virtual walk. So we had every class in the school wearing our Fitbits or the step counters that we'd made with the Microbits. And they were recording every day. At the end of every day, they would add their steps onto the virtual spreadsheet. We made that feed through to our website as well, and we made it work out the top stepper and had a real competition. And we actually walked enough footsteps to reach Uganda. And we got the teachers involved, we got the parents involved, and that was great. But it was kind of a real-life use of data handling and using spreadsheets to look at how many footsteps had been created as well. And the other thing we did, we worked with our cluster. We felt that perhaps
The e-safety digital citizenship element may have needed a bit more work when the DCF came out.
Yeah.
And so we worked with our cluster of schools to put on a big citizenship day. We went to the University of Newport. We got different experts. We had an expert in cybersecurity. We had an expert from the NSPCC talking about being safe online. And that was a brilliant way to really launch the digital citizenship strand of the DCF within our schools and raise the profile as well. So it's about looking for those opportunities in the curriculum and how you can develop your curriculum to allow those kind of technology-rich experiences.
Yeah, well, I got visions of all these children in Newport now with Fitbits running to
Uganda.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So that's almost the end of our DCF element of the podcast. Just we're not in St. Julian's this afternoon. We're up in Jubilee Park. And we've been
very posh.
Yes. And
very nice here.
Yeah, we're overlooking some 3G picture, so it makes you feel envious if you're
very
in
envious,
the middle school.
Absolutely.
Just want to say, what we've been doing here today, we've been looking at the ETLF and a new programme for teachers that's going to be launched this spring. Just do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so the ETLF, the Excellence in Teaching and Leadership Framework, is something that the EAS have produced with teachers around the region. It links very closely with the professional teaching standards that were released from Welsh Government. And the idea being this is an opportunity for teachers to come out and look at their own professional learning, professional development based on this framework. And it's an opportunity really to come out into our schools and to share ideas, network with colleagues and really share ideas, share pedagogy and particularly get a real understanding and grasp of the new curriculum as well.
Yeah, so that programme is new and it'll be available in a variety of schools across the EAS region. So thanks, Luke, for this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that, and a big thank you to Luke for his time. We discussed at the end of the podcast the ETLF teaching programme. If you want to book on ETLF teaching programme or the Mid Leaders or Headship programme, please visit CPD Online. And if you have any ideas of what you'd like us to include in the podcast, or if you'd like to come to your school to record, then just get in touch with us via business support. Thanks very much.